Well, if you have your Bibles this evening, turn to that portion we read together. Our text is taken from verses 3 and verses 4. And it is good to be with you. It's good to be in a place of worship. Perhaps you had the experience tonight of thinking, shall I go, should I not go? And let me ask you this question. Where would you be tonight where you would have an experience, where you would know something of the sanctifying influence of God? Where would you be tonight that you would be in a place which would be life-changing? Where would you be tonight if you weren't here, where you could know the very experience of God? It truly is good to be here, because we are involved, are we not, this evening, dealing with things which are eternal and dealing with the things which are of a glorious gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul tells them in Corinthians, he says that you are to labor on, because your labor is not in vain in the Lord Jesus Christ. We are a part of something which is not wasted. Every hymn that we've sung, every prayer that we've made, the reading of God's word, which is able to cleanse us and clean us, we're about these things which are not futile. It was the Apostle Peter who actually said to those he wrote to, do you not know that you have been redeemed from your aimless and your futile ways? And there are many people tonight in this world which are having a life where they see no future, and it is of emptiness, as the writer of Ecclesiastes tells us, that it is vain and it is empty. And there are many people like that. Whatever your life may be, from all sections of society, there are people who feel that what they're doing is not of any real significance. There is a doctor, well, he was a doctor, but he now, and you think of being a doctor. To be a doctor would be something that you're helping and you're doing something, and it's of a worthwhile vocation. I definitely is, to take care of others. And he's on the TV these days. He gave it up to be a comedian. I think he's a good comedian. I don't know what he was like as a doctor, but he gave up that profession, and now he is a comedian. You know that there is another doctor, and he was a friend of this church, and he was there in Harley Street, but he gave that up. And he gave that up because he became a preacher, and he felt that he would do much more in the very work of declaring people that their souls would be saved. And then you find, don't you, people perhaps who are rich, and they have earned all their money and wealth and have a business. I don't know if you read that account a few years ago. And there was a couple, they were business people, they were made their millions, they were on a world cruise. And then I read in the paper, national newspaper, that both of them had taken their lives. They had walked off the ship on one of the trips they were making there in the Pacific, and they come to a place where there was no more for them to see. They were on the world cruise. They'd done it all. They had experienced it all. And there are people like that. You see, what they're doing in their lives tonight, even on world cruises, it's utterly pointless, and they came to that realization. And it may be, you know, that you are in a very place where, I don't know, you have a job and you don't think much of your job. And now you may think that it's a menial task. And yet I can tell you this, no, really, if you know Jesus Christ tonight, whatever God's called you to do, whatever he's given into your hands, I want to tell you that you know something of God in your experience. And no matter what it is of a meaningful purpose to others and to the glory of God, whatever that task may be. But we do know that we come to a place, perhaps, where we want to just stop our work. There is a particular lady I visit in an old people's home. Her name was Miss Pat. And what she says to me is this, that when she was working, she was longing for the day to stop work, when she could retire. She said she longed for that day. She said, Chris, I'm bored out of my brains. Bored out of my brains. I wish I could work. I wish I could do something. And it may be, perhaps even, look, in your experience tonight, where you're a Christian, and you know you read, don't you, of those great Christians, and you think of the work they've done, and those great preachers, and those missionaries, and those people who have forged a way in this world, and you look at your own Christian life, and you think to yourself tonight, you think, well, what have I done, and what am I doing? And my little contribution is so small and so insignificant. And you come to that very place and you think, what am I about? And I have not very much to offer. You can think like that. You may have a mindset like that, that in your very life tonight in this place, that somehow you're just so small that even the church would not even recognize you, even if you're gone. I want to draw your attention then to these verses. It's found here in verse 3. And just to take this word tonight from then Nehemiah. So I sent messengers to them saying, I am doing a great work so that I cannot come down. Why should the work cease while I leave it and go down to you? But they sent me this message 4 times and I answered them in the same manner. And I want you to hear that word tonight. That if you're thinking of that, think of this man, Nehemiah, and the statement that he makes, I am doing a great work. Now, when you think of that work that Nehemiah was doing, first of all, he was building a wall. And this wall, let me say to you, is not then recorded in one of the 7 wonders of the world. The wall that he was making is not recorded as one of the 10 best walls that you need to see before you die. This wall is not one of the 100 walls. This wall, you see, is not one of the 1,000 great pieces of architecture which has ever been made within this world. And yet, you see, here it is, Nehemiah, he has this mindset, I am doing a great work. And Nehemiah, he's here on these walls at Jerusalem. And we know that there he is in Jerusalem. He's in that very place at the backwater of this Persian Empire. He's not building a wall in Babylon and the wonderful gardens of Babylon. He's not there in Athens building their great school of learning. He's not there in Rome. He's there in Jerusalem, and it's a forgotten place. And yet you see these people come to him. You need this mindset of Nehemiah. And Nehemiah says this, I'm doing this great work. And although it may not be great in the world's eyes, and it may not be in a great place, the reality is that's what I'm doing. And not only that, he's doing it, is he not? When you think of the wall, even his enemies could come up and say to him, oh, look, if a fox were to come in, then the wall will fall down. And no big crowds were cheering him, and no one was clapping behind his back. They were there opposing, and there was much opposition. There was political opposition, psychological opposition. There was all kinds of opposition. And do you know what he was working with? He had women and children, and he had stones which were burnt. And the material that they had wasn't much then even to go by. Can you build a wall with burnt stones? And Nehemiah comes, does he not? And he comes and he tells them, oh, I am doing a great work, and I cannot come down. And I want to say to you tonight that you may be in that very place, and in this very place where you find yourself, that you would come and you realize that there's something great then which God then has given then unto you. And I want to look at that just to simply, perhaps it's one of those pretexts, but I hope it does encourage the saints tonight. And four times, Nehemiah came and he mentions about then this work. 4 times I answered them in the same way. And perhaps let me say to you that there is something tonight. I want you to think upon this tonight. That what you're about here, you see, is a great work. And it's a great work because of this. There's a great work to do. And Nehemiah knew it was not finished. And he still had to hang the doors. And there were things that still needed to be done. And when you think, don't you, about the Lord Jesus Christ and what he then told those 11 and 12 disciples when he ascended into heaven, he said, go into all the world and to preach the gospel. And what a work that is. That's a great work. And this work was, when you think the enormity for Nehemiah in the situation he was in, the magnitude of the stones, the weight of them, the engineering it would take. It was something quite, with much ingenuity, he would have to come and do this work. And you know, when you think then this evening, look, are you not part of something which is far greater than yourself? Far greater than yourself. Now, when you come here to the heath, and when you're about your little work, whatever that work may be, no matter how small, how hidden it may be, can't you see something that is part of this great work which God has given us to do? A work to build his kingdom. And the Lord Jesus Christ said to Peter, on this rock, look, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Now that is great. And you have a part to play. It may be that small cog, but it's in this great plan which God has that many people will be reached. Here in Cardiff, there are thousands. And they tell me in Cardiff, you know, that you've got another 100,000 people moving into the area through the building projects that they've got. 100,000 lost souls. And you say to God, and someone says to you tonight, I'll go into it, and they're drawing you away. You say, listen, I've got a great work, and people need to hear those things of Jesus Christ. Look, there's something else you see in the mind of then Nehemiah when he says it's a great work. You can find it there, can't you, in chapter 1. And he tells us in chapter 1 and in verse 3 of the state and the condition of the very place that Jerusalem was in. They were broken down and it was burnt with fire. And he mourned and he mourned. I've lost the actual text, but this is what he says. It says is because there was a reproach upon God, a reproach upon God. And because these walls were in such a state, Nehemiah felt it in his heart and in his experience. He knew something of that. Now, don't you think of that tonight, that you're part of this work where you're dealing now with the very majesty and the glory of God. Now, you may not think much perhaps of even coming. It may have been, please, I'm exhorting you as Christians. I know what it's like on a Sunday evening. People come on a Sunday morning, and you think to yourself, you know, shall I go on a Sunday evening? Well, think what you're thinking about. You need to think like this. Our God should have all the glory. Our God should have all the honor. Our God is worthy of praise. Our God deserves the thankfulness of his people. And when you come to a place like this on a Sunday evening, and you say, I'm going to sing a few hymns. No, do you know what you're doing? You're giving great testimony. And you're giving greater testimony unto the fact there is a God who is worthy of your time and your attention and your praise. Now, Nehemiah knew that. When he saw these walls being broken down, saw them depleted, saw them with holes in, with great gaps, he knew. He said, look, this is an approach upon our God. Think of it. In this land of Wales, and you go through the nation, and there's chapels closed and places of worship crumbling down, and you feel it, and you feel it in your heart. And then you say, what am I going to do? Oh, I'm going to come. And in the days of my life, do you know what I'm going to do? I am going to worship God, because that's what my life is all about. It's a great work. I've been formed and made for the very glory of God, and I'm going to do that. Remember that tonight. Whatever you've been about is for this. I'm going to give God glory in my life. And I don't think I'm thinking and looking too much into it. Do you know, it was a great work because of this. It was part of God's plan of salvation. And Nehemiah perhaps understood, or whatever it was, God had put it into his heart and purposed in his heart now that this should be done. Think about it for a moment. You say, well, isn't that a book again? You know, look at that preacher. He's one of those kind of, I don't know, motivational speakers. He's trying to get me off my seat once again to go and do something for God. No, do you know what the book of Nehemiah is all about? It's about what God's done. And the great fact is this, is that those walls were broken outside of Jerusalem and someone had to repair them, because God knew that in a time to come, in 400 years, there was someone who had to be crucified beyond the wall, cut off from his people, cut off from those and the covenant. There was one who had to come and taken outside the city. There is a green hill far away, and I put it like this, outside the city wall, where the dear Lord was crucified and died to save us all. And Nehemiah, that was his work. That would be then the instrument by which then the part that he played in this great grand scheme of eternity. And for heaven, there will be Nehemiah. What did you do, Nehemiah? I built a wall. And from that wall, Jesus Christ was taken outside. And he carried then the reproach of his people. And I say to you, look, don't you know tonight that you're part of a work that is then of this great scheme in the very things of salvation, in who you speak to and what you do and how those things are done, that you're part of that? Look, can I say this to you? It was a great work because of this. It's an eternal work, an eternal work. Well, it's a work which then is not then to be in the dust and the ashes. Now, they do tell me that they have found the wall of Nehemiah under the city of Jerusalem. And it's there. And, of course, that is that's where it is. But the work he was involved in has eternal ramifications. And you need to see something of that. There was one old preacher, he came and a number of weeks ago to our place of worship. He'd been preaching in the morning, and in one of these places, there were only a few. And he said, I've been preaching for 50 years, for 50 years. And, you know, I can count the places where I preached, and I've done this work, and they're closed, and they're closed, and they're shut, and now they're in ruins. That may be the case, but I can tell you that in those very buildings, and in those very moments of those evening services, eternal work, eternal work, eternal work that will last forever by that word of Jesus Christ and the seed which is planted and the gospel which has gone forth will be there forever. It's a great work. Do you know that? When you come, if you think of these things, I want you to just have that in your mind, which Nehemiah now is dealing with. And he answers them, does he not, then, four times. But let me also make this then. Look what they say to him. Well, he says to them, I'm doing a great work so that I cannot come down. Now mark that. So that I cannot come down. And what they want him to do, and this is your experience, perhaps it is a word to you, that there is always this temptation, this deceitfulness. What had happened here was that Gershom and Sambalit, the Tobiah, what they did was this, is they hatched a scheme. And the scheme was this, is that they should then call Nehemiah to come down. And then it is in verse 2, come let us meet together among the villages in the plain of, listen to this, Ono. Mark that. Ono. Well, that's an alarm bell to begin with. Ono. When someone comes and they say, well, I want you to meet in that very place of Ono. But you know, there are things, and he understands, you see, what's taking place. You can find it in verse 13. That I should be afraid and act that way and sin. Now, let me say to you, look tonight. You may be involved in this great work, but there are certain things which will bring you down from this work. And one of the things which will bring you down from this work is sin. Sin brings men down from places like this. Sin brings fathers down from their calling. Sin brings people down in their lives. Sin will do that. Sin will take you from this work. And there may be things in your life, and you may think that you can handle them and you can do things with them, and somehow you can still work for the things of God. Look, forget it. Forget it. You can't. Because at the end of the day, with that very sin which is in your life, and those things, the deceitfulness of sin, how deceitful can it be? Now, you and me know we've had it over the last number of months. Greater people than you and me have fallen in this world, and they have been and they've gone. And you say, what was that? The deceitfulness of sin, that somehow I could handle holy things and do God's work and still do those things which are naughty and those things which are wrong. It's just not right. Look, sin. And before you know it, you say, how do I know? You'll know it because of this. You'll be in that place. Oh, no. Oh, no. Oh, no. This is not what I want to be. This is not what I should be. And you find yourself in that land. Shall I tell you what else will take you from this place? Sinners. No, please. Sinners will take. The deceitfulness of sinners will take you from that place and that work of God. Now mark that. Because these two come and it may seem very nice. And they say, will you come with us? We only want to meet with you and talk with you. And you must be careful because there's someone who wants to stop you in the very work of God. And this work, you see, is that people will come and they say, come here and shall we go there? Oh, please be very careful. Oh, be careful when someone comes and you think that you can handle certain things. And before you know it, there are those which are not of God and they've taken you far from the things that you should be doing for God. How many times, perhaps in your experience in your life, look, if anybody ever says to you, look, will you come with me? Come with me now, down to the pub. I'm not going down anywhere. I'm not going down any avenue. I'm not going down any street. And people come, don't they? And perhaps especially on a Sunday, it must be tempting in Cardiff. You have the Six Nations and you have all those kind of things taking place. And someone's going to say to you, even in the next little season, come with me. Come down, mark that word. Anyone who ever uses that adjective and that verb, down. Look, forget it, down. I'm not going down to watch any rugby. I'm not coming down to any house. I'm not going down to any pub. I got a work to do. And you be very careful. And sinners will take you away. Can I say this to you? You've got to be very careful too. And this is much more insidious. You find it there, don't you, of what happened. Look, in verse 12, I perceived the Lord and not sent him at all. But he pronounced this prophecy against me. And there it was, someone who was a prophet. Shall I tell you who will take you from your work? Oh, you say, sin won't take me from my work. Sinners won't take me from my work. Saints will take you from the work. Saints will do that. And perhaps some saint has come, some Christian has said, are you going to the prayer meeting tonight? Are you going to the Bible study this week? Are you going to church? Saints will take you from the work. In our little place of worship, I know the reply. If I ask someone to come and do a little job for me, and the person will say, well, I just got to go and check it out with my wife. And I know what the wife's going to say. What did you say? What do you say? Did you tell him? Or we agreed? And you've got to be very careful if anybody's going to take you from the work. Don't think it can happen. It happened with our Lord Jesus Christ. Do you remember when he says, and he tells Peter, who do people say that I am? And he says, you're the Christ, the Son of the living God. Now listen now, Peter. The Son of Man must be crucified. He must go to Calvary. He must be mocked and spit upon. And Peter says, oh, forbid it, Lord. It should never be. Oh, you don't know what you're speaking of. And there'll be those in your little house and in your little home. And there'll be those who'll read their Bible and prophesy and speak that word of God. But I'll tell you this, you've got to be so careful. Be careful, because they'll take you down from that work. Down from the work. And you've got to be on your watch. And Nehemiah was up to it. And he was up to it. And he was ready. And he was, look, there's one. And you must also remember this. There is then, behind it all, Satan. And you can know that it is his work, because you know why? Do you know that little job that you do? The opening the doors, the giving out the hymn books, the cleaning of the church, the giving of the announcements, the washing of the dishes, the making of the tea, the feeding of the fellowship, the making of the refreshments, the dealing then perhaps with the activities, the bulletins, dealing then with those things of the printouts and the finances, dealing then perhaps with those meetings which are dealing with things like chairs and dealing with things like lights
and dealing with things like health and safety, and you're bored out of your mind, and you think, what's the point? Well, you know it's a great work, because when it's so small and it's so insignificant that the devil himself wants to hinder you and wants to stop you. There's one, you see, who knows the enormity and the greatness and the significance of all this work. Now look tonight, if you're waiting, and I hope you are, you're waiting for the gospel, and you're waiting for that word, and we've got a great word, because there's something in that book of Nehemiah which reflects then to us, does it not, that very work of our Lord Jesus Christ. And I'll just give you this one verse, and it's taken from Matthew chapter 27. And here it is. It's found then in verse then 42. And this is what it says. He saved others. Himself he cannot save. If he is the king of Israel, listen to this, let him come down from the cross and we will believe him. Mark that. Don't you think that Nehemiah was the last one who ever had those words spoken to him? Let him come down from his work. This is none other now than the Lord Jesus Christ, who's at Jerusalem, who is being crucified outside the walls of Jerusalem. And you know what happens? All the crowd comes, and the Pharisees, and even the thieves on the cross, and they all mock him and they laugh at him. And you know what they say? Well, if he is then the Son of God, let him come down. Oh, the great news is this. Jesus Christ did not come down. And you say, well, why did Jesus Christ not come down? I'll tell you why Jesus Christ did not come down. He was doing a great work, a great work. He was doing a work that was bridging the gap between God and man in his very being and his person. Jesus Christ, the God-man in one person. And Jesus Christ on that cross of Calvary. Do you know what he was doing? He was doing a great work where he was reconciling lost men and women to a holy and a mighty God. And they said to him, come down. Now don't you think for one moment that Jesus Christ couldn't come down from that cross. Jesus Christ, he could loose the woman who was bound for 18 years. Jesus Christ had power to walk on water, and that cross was not which held him there. And Jesus Christ had power to call 10,000 legions of angels, and he could come. He could have stepped from that cross, but he stayed there. And you say, why did he stay? It was because of this. He was doing a great work. The Bible tells us this. Do you know the work he was doing? When you see in former times where God had passed over sin and people point the finger, don't they? They point the finger at God and they can say, oh, look, how is God a just God? How he's fair? How can you say that God is righteous in all the things of this world? Do you know what Jesus did? He's God's only begotten Son. And he came there from the Father's glory. He came upon that cross that his Father in glory, may be known to be the righteous King, the Holy God, the Just One. I'm doing a great work. I'm doing a great work. The Lord Jesus Christ, he's on that cross. And as he's on that cross of Calvary, he never... Are you thankful? Is it not an amen? A nod? You're thinking of something here tonight? There was one who could have stepped down at any moment, been taken up into that glory. Nor there was that mind, was there not? This was the greatest work. There was a work that Jesus Christ was doing in his death upon that cross and upon that tree. You and me will know perhaps in our lives the very experience that our work will come to an end. Do you know Jesus Christ? On that cross, they offered him, did they not? that reed which was with vinegar, and they came and they put it upon his lips. He wouldn't drink it. Do you know why? Because he was working. He was working. And not anything could take him from that work, which was to bring you and me to know the very blessings of eternal life with Almighty God. The Lord Jesus Christ upon that very tree was doing that great work. You and me, we may die in our beds. You and me may die in our sleep. You and me will die perhaps in a place where we'll know no pain. Jesus Christ in his death, he worked in his blood, worked in his dying, worked with his last breath, worked, never give up, until he said those words. It's finished. It's finished. Fantastic, isn't it? Fantastic. And then he gave up. Give up the ghost. And, there. Oh, I tell you, that's the one we follow. He did that work that you and me don't have to work, okay? Don't have to do a jot, don't have to do a tittle. We have to enter into his rest. That's all. We have to do that. But look, if there's anyone here tonight, and I don't know if you're thinking of giving up that work. Any person who ever says to me, I'm stepping down from the work, you be careful. Be careful. Anyone who says, I'm taking a backward step now in my Christian walk, please be careful. Be careful. Because those things are in the mind or the heart of our great God and our great Savior. Those things, they don't belong into the very things of him. You're dealing now with one. You say, well, look, I want to thank Jesus Christ tonight. Say this. Oh, if we get the gospel, please. If you're not a Christian, say, oh, I thank you, Jesus Christ, for all the work you've done, because that was a great work. And I know you did that work for me. I know you did it for me. And I believe that you stayed on that cross and you bled and you died because you paid for my sins and you brought away. I thank you, God. I thank you for that. Do that. Do that. Come to him. Do it. And if you're a Christian tonight, you're following one who never came down. Jesus Christ, you come to him. He'll only ever raise you up. Only ever raise you up. He'll never take you down. Never. Jesus Christ will put you in heavenly places and high places. You'll know what it is. Your life has been placed there. Please, look, he's given you that. Don't ever come down. And wherever you are in your Christian life, however far you've gone, never go down. And you say, look, could I not be, Lord? Even as the hymn writer puts it, with my last breath, I'll praise my Maker while I die. While my eyes, they close in death, with my last breath, that I will do that work. I will give you glory. I'll give you testimony. I'll give you honor. I'll share those things, because it is a great work, isn't it, in all that he's given us to do. Let's close the service. Let's close it by saying the Lord's Prayer. Let's do that. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.